and verse 6. Romans chapter 5 and verse 6. And I really only got this message yesterday about 2 o'clock. I was talking with someone, and something they said just hit me. I said, stop, wait a minute, I need to write that down. Romans chapter 5, verse 6 says, "For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love towards us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." In the Amplified Version, it says, "When we were utterly helpless, Christ came at just the right time and died for us sinners." And the title of my message is, "He Chose You Anyway." He chose you anyway. He chose you anyway. Father, we just thank you right now. Let your word be powerful in this place today. Let it minister to hearts. Let it deliver. Let it, oh God, be effective and manifest in this building. We give you thanks in Jesus' name. Turn to someone and say, "He chose you anyway." And you may be seated. Hallelujah. He chose you anyway. Amen. I'd like to welcome all our visitors today. Amen. You know, in Sunday school, we were talking about the difference between a trial and a temptation. And we touched on something, the difference between a gift and a reward. And I was reading a magazine late last night, and it was talking about this minister, and he had two sons. And he said the first son was very good. He said the second son was also good, but not quite. But he said that at Christmas, he still bought both of them gifts. He still bought both of them gifts. You have to excuse me. Pray for me today. I was up till about 3:30, so pray for my strength. But he bought them both gifts, and he was making the point, it wasn't because of what they did that they got the gifts. It was because of the relationship to who they were to him. They were both his sons. He chose them anyway. He chose them anyway. The difference between a gift and a reward is something you have to work for. It depends upon your performance. It depends upon how good you can be. But the Bible says the gift of God is free. It's not because of something you did, something I did. It's not something we could earn. But he chose us anyway. Anyway. In Romans 7 verse 18 it says, "For I know," this is Paul the Apostle, "that in me," that is in my flesh, "dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me." I get up every Monday morning. I think I'm going to conquer this week. I'm going to be perfect. I'm just going to be an angel. I'm not going to think any thoughts. I'm just going to go through my week. I'm just going to have victory. Paul says, listen, "I think that there in me dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me." We want to be perfect. We want to do the right thing. But how to perform that which is good, I find not. We can try all we want to be perfect, but in this flesh, we won't. But here's the beauty of it. God chose us anyway. It wasn't because of something we did, but it was because of a relationship. When you're in a relationship, it's not because of what you did, but it's because of the relationship. You can't do nothing about whose family you're born into. You are either born a daughter or a son. There's a relationship there that makes you into that family. Now, you may be estranged from that family, but they cannot change the past. You cannot change the past. Paul says, "There was in me no good thing that I could do that could change the way I am. But God, in his mercy and his love, he chose me anyway. He chose me despite me. in spite of all the things that I have, in spite of all the warts and my failures and my falling downs and my messing up, he chose me anyway. In Galatians 5:17, he says, "For this flesh," and this is in a modern translation, "for the flesh lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh." We want to do things that please our flesh, but don't please God. He says it's the spirit and the flesh don't gel together. They will fight each other, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that he cannot do the things that he would. We can't get up and just give in to this flesh. We can't give in to all our feelings, or else we would end up probably in jail. That's where we would end up. The Bible says that the end of sin is death, but yet he chose us anyway. Now, why is it that you think God would choose someone that wasn't perfect? How could it be that he could choose someone that had a disreputable character? How could he reach out to someone who was a liar, a thief, maybe a murderer? And yet the Bible shows us so many examples of him choosing those very kind of people. It's because God sees you differently than you can see yourself. He is not looking at the you right now. He's looking at the finished work of Calvary. He's looking at what you could become. He's looking at how his life could change your life and make you into something so much greater, so much more beautiful, so much more wonderful. That's how he's looking, and he's choosing you anyway. Amen? See, God doesn't look at us as how we look at ourselves. If we were to go by how we look at ourselves, most of the time we would give up, we would quit, we would throw the towel in. But God calls those things that are not as though they be. He is looking at the end of the journey. He is not looking at all the things in between. He is looking at the perfected you. He said to Abraham, "Walk before me and I will declare you perfect." In Genesis he said, "Walk before me and be thou perfect." It was a declaration. It was God saying, "Listen, Abraham, I know you have faults and failures, but if you will just step out, if you will just step out, I choose you. I will call you. I will make you. I will change you. I will love you." That's what God is saying today. I choose you anyway. God is looking at what you can become. When we see a little baby, when you walk into the nursery and you pick up that two-day-old baby, you don't know what you're holding in your hand. That very baby could be a mayor, a doctor, a lawyer, a president. You see, only God knows what you can become. And so he chooses you anyway. When you respond, when you will give in, when you will submit your life to him, he can make you and mold you. And that's why he wants to choose you anyway. You see, God is looking at the finished you. He is looking at your beginning as a little innocent baby, and he's looking at what you could become. He wants to choose you anyway. In Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 4, it says, "Then the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I separated you, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee to be a prophet." God had chosen Jeremiah even as a baby, when he was innocent, before he had done anything. And he says, "I choose you, Jeremiah. I have plans for your life." What I'm trying to tell you today is, God is choosing you today. Despite you, despite your mess ups, despite your failures, despite all the things that have gone wrong in your life, if you will submit, if you will come to God and give him the broken pieces, he will choose you anyway. He chose me anyway, anyway. I don't know if you could understand, when we look at the characters in the Bible, very few of them were perfected human beings. Amen. Very few of them were perfect. Jacob was a con man. He cheated his brother. And you know what? God says, "I choose you anyway. I'm going to make you a nation. I am going to bless you. I'm going to love you. I'm going to pour out so many blessings upon you. I choose you anyway." You know, we look at ourselves and we think, "God, you can't use me. You can't choose me. I'm defective. I am broken. I am no good." He chooses you anyway. Jeremiah, listen, God said, "Before I formed in the belly, I had a plan for your life. do you understand? Of all the people born, God has a plan for your life. He wants to choose you, to make you, to mold you, to deliver you, to love you, to increase you, to pour out His favor upon you. If you will just respond to that choice. On YouTube, a few months ago, I saw a wedding proposal in a mall. And this man made some elaborate, you know, and he had all the crowds around, and he went down on one knee, and she said no, and walked off. Do you understand that God has made some elaborate plans for your life, and many of us are just walking off and saying no? He has chosen us. He said, before you were formed, Jeremiah, I had a plan for your life. I knew thee before thou camest out of the womb. I set you apart. I chose you for something special. God has chosen each and every one of you for something special. You say, no, not me. Maybe the next person. But He has. Before you came out of the womb, I set you apart and ordained you to be a prophet. In the Amplified Version, it says, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you and approved of you. Think about that. I approved of you as my chosen instrument. That's what He told Jeremiah. Do you understand that we have that potential? When you're looking at a little baby, you don't know what that baby is going to become. You have no idea what that little child can become. If it is nurtured, if it is given the right incentives, if it's given to the right family, if it's given the right goals, God is choosing someone today. He chose you anyway, despite of what you have done. It says, I approved of you as my chosen instrument, and before you were born, I consecrated you to myself as my own. Do you understand what God is saying? He's saying, suffer the little children to come unto me, for as such is the kingdom of heaven. Every single one of you, when you come out of that womb, you have that potential to be a Jeremiah, to be a David, to be a Solomon, to be a Saul, to be a Peter. But you have to respond to the call. You see, when Jeremiah heard this, he came up with an excuse. He says, I'm too young. I can't speak. But here's what God said. I chose you anyway. We all have excuses why God can't make me anything. I'm doomed. I came from a broken family. I went through too much. You don't understand. And He's saying, I choose you anyway. That's what He's saying today. Despite what you're going through, despite the history you have had, it doesn't matter with God. All things are possible. All things are made new. In Christ, you are a new creature. The old things are passed away. I choose you anyway. See, we come up with excuses why we can't come to church. We can't be Christians. I'm a failure. Every time I try, I fail. That's what Jeremiah was saying. But you see, God did not look at Jeremiah as a baby. He didn't look at the baby in the womb. He looked at the prophet who would come, the prophet who would stand up to the king, the prophet who would let himself be put in a well, the prophet who would declare the word of God, because God had chosen him. When God chooses you, He will equip you. He will give you the tools. He will give you the courage. He will direct your path. He said, in all thy ways, acknowledge me. Amen. And He's going to show you the path of life. Jeremiah at first said, I can't do this. I'm just a young person. How can I go out and start to prophesy to Israel? God told him, listen, I approved of you. I chose you. You see, all of us that are in here today, every single sin we have committed was long past the cross. He already knew all our faults. He already knew the things we would mess upon. But you know what He's saying loud and clear today? I choose you anyway. It's you I want, not the next person, you. What are you going to do about that? Are you going to respond? Or are you going to make excuses like Jeremiah? I'm too young. I can't do it. I'm a this, I'm a that. I'm an addict. I'm a crackhead. He chooses you anyway. The Bible says He's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. That means He can deliver you. If He chooses you, He will deliver you. He will save you. He will sanctify you. He will renew you. He will make you the object of His love. See, You can't inform God of your failures. He knows all about it. Prayer is not telling God, oh, you messed up. Prayer should be repenting. Prayer should be just saying, Lord, you know me. That's what David said. You knew me from my mother's womb. I was conceived in sin. But still, all you're looking for is a broken and a contrite heart. You see, it looks impossible. This little lad has got 5 loaves and 2 fishes. That can't do nothing. But I choose you anyhow. You know, Jesus could have made the food just fall from heaven. But he wanted to show that he can choose somebody, a little boy who was willing to give what he had. I choose you. Well, Philip, all we got here, Andrew, is this little boy, and he's got 5 loaves and 2 fishes. Jesus said, bring it to me. You may say, I've got nothing to give to God, but you've got yourself. You may only have 5 loaves and 2 fishes, but you know what Jesus is saying today? I choose you anyhow. He chose me anyhow. You look at me up here and you think I may be something, but I am nothing. But he chose me anyhow. He made me what I am. He can make you what you should be. He can renew you. He can give you life. He can give you love. He can give you favor. He can give you blessing. He can bring deliverance. He can give you healing. He wants to choose you anyhow. See how God works? He can take a shepherd boy and make him a king. 1 Samuel 16:4. Samuel, I want you to go to Bethlehem, and I want to choose the next king of Israel. Samuel must have gone, well, you know, Bethlehem is a sheep town. In fact, when Jesus was first announced, Philip said, can any good thing come from Nazareth? Can any good thing come out of Milwaukee? Can anything good come out of 21st and Highland? You know what? We may be nothing in the eyes of the world, but if God says, I choose you anyhow, when God puts his declaration on a person, when he says, I put my name upon you, when his name is upon you, that means he's chosen you anyhow. That means there's nothing can stand against you. So Samuel goes to the town of Bethlehem. And Samuel did that which the Lord spake and came to Bethlehem. And the elders of the town trembled at his coming. They said, well, this prophet is coming here. Wonder what he's coming for. Comest thou peaceably? And he said, peaceably, I am come to sacrifice unto the Lord. Sanctify yourself. When the Lord is getting ready to bless, you need to separate yourself. Get away from the mess. Come and say, here, Lord, I'm by myself. You can give it all to me. When the Lord is blessing, you can be greedy. Give it all to me, Lord. I don't know about this fellow, but I want all that you got for me. I want it all. I don't want to leave any on the table when it's for me. And he sanctified Jesse and his sons and called them to the sacrifice. And so Samuel was thinking, okay, all right, let's see what the next king of Israel looks like. And it came to pass that when they were come, he looked on Eliab, who was Jesse's oldest, and he was probably 6'5", and he was in the army, and he looked every inch the king. Surely the Lord's anointed is before him. See, God does not look at you how people look at you. God is looking at your heart, and he wants to choose you anyhow, anyway. And so Samuel was all ready to break out the horn of anointing, and God said, nope, this is not him. This is not the one I choose. He looks like it, but he ain't it. Let's look at the next one. But the Lord said unto Samuel, look not on his countenance. See, you may look like nothing to the world right now. You may be a hot mess, as they say. You may be going through all kinds of stuff right now. But the Lord could be coming to your Bethlehem, and Samuel may have been breaking out the horn of anointing, and he's just ready for you to step up from out of the field to pour out a blessing upon you because he wants to choose you anyhow. God told Samuel, this isn't him. And so we see that he brought the next one in. Look not on his countenance or on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth. Aren't you glad God doesn't look at you how the world looks at you? What we're doing in here and right now, the world looks as foolishness You could be home in your bed or out there enjoying something. The world looks at what we're doing today as stupidity. The fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. But one day the Bible says, every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess that Jesus is Lord. I'm glad he chose me now. The Lord looketh not on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. So then Jesse called Abinadab, his second son, and made him to pass before Samuel. And he said, neither hath the Lord chosen him. He looked good, but that's not the one we want. Then Jesse made Shammah to pass by, and he said, neither hath the Lord chosen this. And again Jesse made seven of his sons pass before Samuel. Samuel must have been getting frustrated. Well, Lord, you sent me to this place and you said this was the man, and all his sons have come, and some of them look pretty good. They look like they could be king material. You see, it's so good that God doesn't look at what the man sees from the outside. And nevertheless, you may look like a mess. You may look unsuitable. But anyhow, he's chosen you. Do you have one more son? Well, we have one more son, but he's just a teenager, and he's out looking after sheep. You couldn't mean him. You couldn't be looking for him. He's always messing up and doing stuff wrong, and it could not be him. Samuel said, bring him in. Bring him in. And when he was brought in, God told him, this is the one. I choose you, David, anyhow. Although you are not the best, you're not the greatest, you're not the tallest, you're not the strongest. Your father doesn't think too much of you. Your mother doesn't think too much of you. They said you were going to be nothing. You're going to be a failure. I choose you anyhow. Isn't God's grace wonderful? Man looks at the outside, but I'm telling you today, somebody in here, God is speaking to you and letting you know, I choose you anyhow. Despite what you've been in, despite the stuff that has happened, I still choose you. You know what David had, his brothers didn't? He had this one thing, faith. They were relying on how they looked, on their education, on their talents. They'd been to the best schools. They had everything going for them. They were in the army. They had been trained. And they relied on I, me, and myself. I got it together. But David, he relied on the Lord. We know this from 1 Samuel 17 and verse 37, when he was recounting the story of when he was just still a shepherd boy. He said, the Lord that delivered me. He said, the Lord that delivered me. Not my spear, not my sword, not my shield. The Lord that delivered me. It was the Lord that chose me. It was the Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear. This was David's secret. It wasn't his stature. It wasn't his good looks. It wasn't his talents. But the Lord chose him anyhow. He chose you anyway. You may be feeling kind of hopeless and depressed. You may have come here with all kinds of burdens today. But I want to tell you the message is, he chose you anyway. In fact, God knew down the road David was going to mess up. David became an adulterer. David became a murderer. And yet, God chose him anyway. Think about that. Moses, I can't speak, Lord. You can't choose me. Plus, I'm 80 years old. You can't choose me. God chose him anyway. Jacob was a con man, cheated his brother, running away from his father and his family. God chose him anyway. Samson was a womanizer, always in some woman's bed. God chose him anyway. God chose him anyway. Saul was a killer of Christians, on his way to kill some more Christians. God struck him down and said, I choose you, Saul. Why am I telling you this? What I'm trying to tell you is, you look at the outward appearance. God can change your life. He took David, a shepherd boy, and he changed him and made him a king. He can choose you anyway. Zacchaeus, a tax collector, a thief, a con man too. Jesus comes by and he sees him in the tree. Zacchaeus, this day, this could be the day Jesus is telling you, this day, I choose you anyway. Mary Magdalene, a prostitute, a harlot. People don't want to be around her. Jesus, why are you near this woman? Don't you know who she is? I choose her anyway. Colossians 2:13 says, and you, being dead in your sins and in the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened. That means made alive. God can take your dead situation and bring it back to life. He can take your no good situation and he can resurrect it. He says, and you hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven. Let's say that together. Forgiven. Come on, do you believe it? Say it one more time. Your all your trespasses, blotting out the handwriting. This is what God does when he chooses someone anyway. He has to blot out all their trespasses. He has to blot out all their sins. Blotting out the handwriting of the ordinances. That means the laws that was against us, which was contrary to us. And he took it out of the way, nailing it to the cross. That is how Jesus can choose you anyway. I don't preach very long. You can stand. Now I have a question for you. He chose you anyway. Now will you choose him? In the Old Testament, he told one of the prophets, I want you to go and marry this prostitute. What? Yeah, I want you to choose her anyway. Do you understand that that was a model for God knowing how we are? And yet, he chose us anyway. What God is trying to say is, I love you despite you, despite what you are. I see you differently. I see the potential in you. I see the good in you, to quote Darth Vader. He chose us anyway. The question is, are you going to choose him back? Will you return that choice? Will you say, Lord, I'm going to bring you what I have. I only have 5 loaves and 2 fishes. It's not enough for me, let alone these 5,000 people. But Lord, if you choose me despite me, knowing who I am, knowing my faults, knowing my messes up, all the things that I have done wrong, if you can still choose me, I choose you. That's what God wants. And you know what? He will change you. The Bible says that when he shall appear, we shall see him as he is. And we are going to be like him. We're going to be like, he's going to change us, transforming us into his image. When he chooses you and you choose him, something remarkable happens. There is a transformation begins. A change happens. But you look in the Bible and look at the people God chose. They were not perfect people. They were hurting people, wounded people, broken people, people in messes, murderers, criminals. And he chose them anyway. He took a shepherd boy, made him a king. He took an escaped murderer in Moses, made him the leader of the nation. He took a prisoner from the jail, Joseph, made him prime minister. He can take you and make you a saint. I'm closing this service, but I hope you remember this message. He chose you anyway. Jeremiah, I had my eyes on you from you were a little baby. I have put my plans aside for you, ready for the moment you are ready. And I choose you now, Jeremiah. Now, it's not going to be easy. There's going to be opposition. They're going to come against you. They're not going to believe that I chose you because it looks impossible. Saul's going to come after you, David, because I've now chose you to be king. You're going to be running around for your life for a little bit. But that doesn't matter. I still choose you, David. You are going to be king, despite what Saul wants to do, because I choose you anyway. Do you know the greatest thing you can have happen to you in your whole life is if God chooses you? Think about that. There's no award that is greater. There is no Oscar. There is no Tony. There's no, Grammys? There is nothing greater than if God looks down from heaven and looks at you and says, Saul, I choose you. David, I choose you. Moses, I choose you. Abraham, I choose you. Jacob, I choose you. I'm going to change your messed up life. I'm going to make you a nation. I'm going to change your name. I'm going to call you Israel, because with God you have become a prince. You have power with God now. That's what the power of the living God can do. He can choose you anyway. Anyway. These altars are open. We're going to close this service. But this message is for somebody. Will you respond? Will you say, Lord, I choose you? Men wouldn't choose me, but Lord, if you will choose me, I'm willing to try. I'm willing to see your plan fulfilled in my life. I am willing for a change, a new direction. There was no one that God chose, that Jesus chose, that there wasn't a change when they chose him. Now, there was a couple people who Jesus chose and they rejected him. But everyone that Jesus chose who chose him, their end of their story was different from the beginning. Jacob became a prince. David from a shepherd boy to a king, and so on and so on. Peter the fisherman to a great apostle. Saul the Christian killer to a great apostle. Mary Magdalene from a harlot, from a prostitute, to her name mentioned wherever this gospel is preached, Jesus said. This is what happens when you respond to Jesus choosing you. Hallelujah. We're going to pray. But if you want prayer, come to this altar. Choose him today. Choose him today. Church, if you could bow your hearts with me. Father, we just thank you for this word, that you in your love chose us anyhow, anyway, despite ourselves, despite the way we are, despite even our future failures, you still chose us. Hallelujah. Lord, we ask you right now, Father, for those in this audience who want to make a change, who want to submit their life to you, who will bring you the 5 loaves and 2 fishes, who will let you choose them. Lord, we ask right now that you sanctify them as you did Jeremiah. Oh God, that you choose them back, oh God, that you will lay your hand upon them, that your Holy Spirit will bring deliverance and salvation.